Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Boyer, who takes the snap. Boyer stepping up, firing downfield. Caught. Right side, 35-30, 25-20, 15-10-5. Touchdown, Houston.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com. On Sports Radio 610.
Cecil Shorts with the touchdown.
I like it.
Caught a Brian Hoyer pass.
Appreciate that, Figgy.
Took it to the house.
Appreciate that, Figgy.
Cecil's in for John Lopez. Couple Texans defensive backs in the news for different reasons. Jonathan Joseph calls it quits after 15 years. One of the best free agent signings in franchise history. A long career. What's next for JJO?
He'll be coaching somewhere, in my opinion, man, whether that's maybe even front office stuff. But I think he'll be coaching in the league. I think he'll be his last 3 or 4 years. That's what he was doing anyways. That's one reason B.O.B. loved him so much. He was a true professional, very smart player, very football smart, high IQ. So I wouldn't be surprised if he'll be coaching in the league sometime in the next 2 years.
B.O.B. loved him. I don't think he loved the next former Texans DB as much. Kareem Jackson. Kareem Jackson joined Aqib Talib. He had this to say about Gary Kubiak.
Cool, take care of you, man. You might. A lot of different ways, man. He lets you be a professional. He going to let you be, you know, who you are. Like, he going to take care of you, like, physically and mentally. You know, it help you too. But O'Brien come in, and it's like, I remember the first meeting, he like, I don't give a damn about it being hot. It's Houston. It's hot everywhere. It was like, nah, this Texas heat different. He got pants on, long sleeve shirt. First day of camp, next day he out there with shorts and shit on. He like, we told you. He like, his first year, it was just different, man. It was different, man. And the thing about him was he always wanted to be that guy in control. Like, and that was the thing. Why Hop? Like, Hop, you know, he didn't like it because Hop had an influence on the locker room. But
right.
If this your premier guy, why wouldn't you want him to have an influence
exactly.
on the locker room? You want the young
you gotta
guy.
You got to build a relationship with him so you can have that inside connection to the influence on the locker room.
And that's how you bridge the gap. You got your big dog going to bridge the gap with you and the young pups. Like, that's
exactly.
That's how it worked. But, nah, it ain't nothing like that with him, man. But as the years went on, when he was there, he kind of learned and he kind of changed around. He kind of changed a little bit. But when it came to the young guys, man, it was totally different. Totally different.
Interesting. Not anything surprising. The difference between Gary Kubiak and Bill O'Brien, Kareem Jackson. Apparently, Bill O'Brien thought he could overcome this heat that many people are hesitant to even walk to their car with. Bill O'Brien walks out in a sweatshirt the first day.
Yeah, I think B.O.B., especially as time went on and the more games he won, the little more ego he got. I do agree with Kareem and pretty much everything he was saying, but when it comes to B.O.B., he ruined rookies' careers. Like, Jalen Strong, he ruined his career, in my opinion. From jump, the way he would talk to him, the way he would didn't know how to communicate with him, didn't know how to reach him, the way you talk to rookies, when I get they got to earn their way, but to destroy them, to tear them down with every single thing, every time in front of everybody, all the time, that's not how you're going to reach them. That's not how you're going to build them up. That's not how you're going to make them a better player and get the best out of them. So when it comes to that, I totally agree, man. The way he talked to rookies was crazy. Like, to the point where it was disrespectful.
Well, I just think it was like meathead weirdo stuff that B.O.B. had that I don't think that's the vibe even like at high schools or colleges. He almost seemed like he was almost like stuck in the 70s or 80s or something like that, like Revenge of the Nerds era, like 80s, where you pick on freshmen. Oh, stupid freshmen. Oh, you got to earn your right. Like,
that's
all
exactly
that.
How it was.
But it just seems like in football, like more than anything, like even in high school, like there are freshmen that are going up there and balling immediately. Like, and there are freshmen in college that are just balling immediately. It just seemed like Bill O'Brien had like this entitled meathead persona when it came to young guys and rookies. And he had a predetermined mindset. He didn't even really give some of these guys a chance. Nope. To win him over, and he rode some of these guys. I think he did the same thing with Deontay Foreman. I know Deontay, and I know his dad very well. And look, I'll be the first to tell you, Deontay Foreman had some knucklehead tendencies, and Deontay Foreman a lot of time was probably not as urgent and not as professional as he should have been. Deontay will tell you that. He's told me that.
Same
but
with Jalen.
Mm-hmm. You could have handled Deontay a different way, especially if you're going to bring him in, especially if you could have benefited from it.
I think the
Kiki QT, I think, is another one, too.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I think you got to, as a coach, no matter what level you're on, but especially no matter what level you're on, you can't approach every single player the same way because they take things differently. So you're coming down on every single body. Somebody can, some rookies can take that. Some people can take that. Others, they can't. Jalen Strong couldn't. Deontay Foreman, I'm not sure he could at that point. I don't know if Kiki could take it. Like, it was like, you're coming down on them so much. What good can they do? Like, they might, Kiki go out there and catch 10 passes first game, and you're going out there and pointing every single thing he did wrong. You know what I mean? So, yeah. it's just frustrating when you were there going through it, but Kareem hit the nail on the head, man.
I think 70% of second-round picks last year started a game. Ross Blacklock didn't start a game. And you just have rookies all over the place making significant impacts. And I don't know why B.O.B. has that mindset. That might be something he wants to change if he gets another coaching job. But it's goofy. I'll tell you this right now. I can guarantee you this because he's basically – Bill O'Brien is Nick Saban's coffee guy right now. Like, he's going to get him coffee. He's basically Nick Saban's bitch, for lack of a better term. Call him plays. Nick Saban's going to tell you what to call, and he's going to tell you how to figure out things. You damn sure aren't gonna treat Nick Saban's freshman like that. I can promise you that. Jalen Waddle, the second he stepped on campus, was making plays at Alabama. Yeah. Tua won a national championship. He benched Jalen Hurts for Tua. So you better eliminate that mindset and learn how to work well with kids, or else you're gonna be doing more than getting coffee. You're gonna be taking Nick Saban's foot out of your ass if you take that to Alabama with you.
You think he'll get back in the league soon?
What league?
NFL?
No.
Really?
No.
B.O.B. won't be back in the league soon?
No.
Why? Too much damage done here?
I just think the Texans were a joke, and I think he was I think they were the butt of everyone's jokes. I think the way that he did things, I think it was so laughable that I just don't think that Bill O'Brien will be back. Maybe. Who knows? It only takes one. I just don't think so. And I don't think he's a good enough offensive mind.
Well, back in a prominent role. Right, as a OC or a head coach.
You want that guy calling plays for you?
Well, I thought his football mind was great.
Offensively?
Do I want him calling plays for me?
Offensively. You thought his offensive mind was good. Offensively.
To answer the question, I do not want him calling plays for me. No.
Okay, then what do you want him doing?
But my thing,
you want him as
maybe
your GM?
I'm too optimistic.
You want him as your GM?
No, he's not a GM. No, Landry, I don't want him as a GM. What I'm saying is, and I'll give everybody the benefit of the doubt. What if he grows, right? What if he can become better from this? And maybe I look at it too different. Maybe I'm only a high school coach. Maybe I just look at it. I'm always looking at it as like somebody can grow better from this. But can he do that's what I'm asking? Can he get past his ego? Can he get past that and really be able to?
He's in the right situation to where he's gonna have to check it.
Yeah. Yeah. Saban ain't going to take no jump.
I mean, I don't know. I find it hard to imagine that Bill O'Brien doesn't succeed as OC at Alabama. I think it's hard to screw that up, especially with the talent they got. But if you are ever going to check your ego, thinking that you're the god of football and invented football and you're the king of an NFL organization, can basically do whatever the hell you want, including trade guys because of pettiness. If you do need your ego checked, I think he's in the right situation where his ego's going to get checked. Because he ain't walking in that He ain't walking in that room with the swagger that he had here and the arrogance that he had here.
Not at all, but that's what I'm saying. He's the OC at Alabama, right? He's the OC. If he has two good successful years there, he's going to get another shot somewhere else. In the league or a big-time college job, it's going to happen. I just don't see somebody passing him up because look at his record. He had a lot of success. You can't deny that, right, Landry? You can't deny that. He had a lot of success. 4 division titles, is that correct?
Oh,
3?
No, we're doing this.
You can't deny his resume. His resume speaks for itself.
Right,
so if
I'm
he goes,
take a break.
If he's at Alabama,
go ahead,
and
man.
He wins the title this year, wins the title or does well next year, and it's the OC at Alabama, you're telling me he's not going to get a job offer somewhere else? You're telling me that?
You went division titles on me, man.
I'm just saying, Figgy, his resume speaks for itself. Like, you can't knock his resume. He has an overall winning record. He has 3 or 4 division titles. I know everything else. I'm right there with you. I'm just saying.
Look how bad this division was when he was winning.
I'm just saying. You say he's not going to be back in the league.
AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
I think it's an opportunity that's going to pop up somewhere.
Bro.
I'm just saying.
Doesn't matter, Brian. But AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Like the win-loss record, I think it was 40 below 500 with the other squads. I mean, you had Zach Mettenberger.
Yeah.
Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
Who else was the quarter? The ghost Brissette. Of Andrew Luck.
Yep.
I'm talking about the early ones. The early ones was all defense. And you're going division titles.
When you're the OC, at Alabama.
It's one thing for the Tim Kelly thing, but now you're giving me this.
If you're the OC at Alabama and you're with Nick Saban, you're going to get an NFL opportunity. You're going to. Why not?
Well, Brian Daboll got it.
It's going to happen. He'll be back in the league, I say, 2-3 years.
Doing what?
Calling plays.
Calling plays or being a head coach?
Either or. You telling me nobody's going to take a shot on him again?
I don't know, man.
You're telling me nobody's going to take a shot on him again?
I don't know. I mean, it'd be interesting. I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, what's he going to do? How's he going to grow? Do you think Bill O'Brien has it in him to grow?
I think this was humbling for him. I think? I think that him being fired, I guess I'm hoping. But him
the
being,
crazy thing
him
is, I like OB. Like as a guy, I like
as
OB.
As a guy, he's pretty cool.
As a guy, I like. Like I've had beers with. I like OB, mm-hmm. and I've said all the criticism like in front of him. Like I'm not. I don't get around OB and say like. Told him the Hopkins trade was the dumbest trade I've ever seen.
What did he say?
Well, we'll see. I was like, yeah, we will. Yeah, we will. But I mean, he was cool. I mean, he's fine. The way that he handled himself, the way he conducted himself, the way that he made trades, the way that he called plays, it was frustrating. And that's why we are in the situation we're in. And it's not like we were too close to the situation. Like, the Texans were the butt of every joke for a long time because of him. You're telling me that someone's going to give him another chance in 2 years?
Yes. Time heals all wounds. When you play with Nick Saban, when you're the OC at Alabama with the best offense in the nation probably in a couple of years, whatever the case may be, they get top recruits every year. I don't know what they'll have. If he has
success
there.
They just
had
their best recruiting class. And this is Alabama. This is Alabama, who has the best recruiting class every year.
Every
year. They have their best recruiting class.
Thank you. That's what's going to happen. He's going to have a great year offensively. If he struggles, no, it won't happen. But if he has a great year this year, next year offensively, he'll get a head coaching job or an OC job very soon in the league.
That'll be interesting. I'll be watching it. I'll be watching it. Just be sure to get Saban that coffee or you ain't going to be calling plays too long there, Billy. Got to kick him a little bit. Shout out to B.O.B. Best of luck to you. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are one. Cecil Shorts in for John Lopez. Now, we know that Davis Mills might be the backup for the Houston Texans, but there are reports now that he was their backup plan on draft night. We'll give you the latest next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, On List, you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, apparently Davis Mills not the first choice for the Houston Texans. This is according to Chris Thomason of the St. Paul Pioneer Press. He says that Kellen Mond's father, Kevin, says the Texans were ready to select Mond with the 67th overall pick in the draft. The Vikings selected him the pick before, so Mond is in Minnesota, likely backing up Kirk Cousins at the start of the season. This is what Mond said, Mond's father, to Mr. Thomason of the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Quote, so we're sitting on the couch and Kellen gets a phone call a couple of minutes later and it's a team. Then he hung up the phone. He goes, I'm going to the Vikings. The Texans had already told his agents they're getting ready to take him at pick 67. The Vikings happen to have pick 66. Mond asked how Kellen felt where he would rather go. He said the following, quote, I think he's comfortable and he likes the decision. He's thrilled about being in Minnesota. In Houston, he might be rushed into it. Here, Minnesota, he can sit back and learn, but he's a fast learner. He also says he wanted to get away, wanted to start his own life, his own career, and get away to do things away from the family and Texas and A&M right down the highway. He just wants to start his own journey, and I think it's good. Cecil Shorts in for John Lopez. Your reaction to Kellen Mond being the backup plan?
Or Davis Mills being the backup plan. it was interesting. I wasn't sold on Kellen Mond. Seeing him being a guy at A&M, I think he's a four-year starter, if I'm not mistaken. He was there a long time, it seemed like. And Tyler Miller probably is like, oh, you're hating on the A&M guys. I just wasn't a big fan of his. I think he's good. I think he's really good in the red zone with his being able to use his legs. I think last year he became a pretty good pocket passer. I wasn't just sold on him being a guy coming to Houston and being a guy that can take over a franchise. You know what I mean? Or can be the guy. So he reminds me of Kaepernick. Maybe if I had to compare him to somebody, a Kaepernick-esque type player. But I'm just, you know, I'm just not sold on hearing that.
He's not as electric as Kaepernick, though. Kaepernick could get it. Kaepernick had that rocket.
If I had to compare him to somebody, okay, it would be Kaepernick.
Okay.
That's off the top of my mind. But I'm just,
What about him being what about Davis Mills being the second choice? Like, were the Texans, you can look at this a couple of ways. Did the Texans just like Mond and Davis Mills so much that they just happened to align back-to-back on the board? Or were the Texans just so desperate to take a quarterback that although their top choice was gone, they just decided to go down the list? That's the thing that kind of sticks out to me. If this is true, if what Kevin Mond told the newspaper in St. Paul is true, it does bring up a lot of questions. Were they just desperate to get a quarterback because that's a dangerous place to be? Or did they just happen to ironically like Mond and Mills around the same?
I'll be honest with you. I think they were looking for a quarterback. I think they were looking for a guy that they wanted. I think they knew the situation they were in, and they wanted to see if they could find a good one in with their first pick in round three. I don't think that Mond and Mills were at the top of the best overall players left on the board. I don't know, but that would be a doubt for me. But I truly think that they were looking for a quarterback, and these were one and two that they had ranked. So if one was gone, they were going with Davis Mills. Now, I just think that's what it was. I think the situation that you're in, you needed to find a young quarterback, somebody you can build, somebody you can grow. Going with Pep Hamilton and knowing what he's done with quarterbacks, I think they were comfortable drafting one. I think they wanted to get one, and they wanted to see. That's why I think you need to see Davis Mills now. Like, you have to see what he can do. You can't waste that draft pick. If you do think he's not ready or he doesn't play at all this year, then that's a wasted draft pick. You got to see what he can do.
What if he develops into it later down the line? Why does there have to be a hurry? What if he's not ready?
No, it's not a hurry. But what I'm saying is, I disagree. I'm sorry. If he's not ready to go right now, this year, at some point this year,
yeah,
you got to draft one next year. If you love a guy, you got to draft one with your first overall pick.
So was Patrick Mahomes a wasted draft pick by the Chiefs?
He didn't play year one.
No, but he didn't play year one.
But they had a guy already. They had Alex Smith already. You don't have anybody here. You don't have no Alex Smith here. You don't have a – I mean, Alex Smith's best year was with when Mahomes was drafted. Like, that was his best year. You're not going to get that from Tyrod Taylor. You're not going to get what you got from Alex Smith, from Tyrod Taylor or any other backup quarterback in the league. Like, Alex had a great year that year. You were already set up. It was just he was so good. Let's go get him. He's the guy in waiting. I don't know if you could say Davis Mills is the guy in waiting for whoever.
But isn't the pressure to – have a immediate contributor in the third round, isn't that decreased when you're in the process the Texans are in? So maybe Davis Mills is a little further off, and maybe Davis Mills has this unrealized potential, and because you are the Texans and winning might not even be the top priority, and maybe you want to develop guys, doesn't the importance of hitting on third round picks kind of decrease with the situation they're in?
I would say it would increase because you want to build through the draft. So when you draft a guy in the third round, you expect him to play, and you're in a rebuild mode. You want to hit on your draft picks because that's how you build a team, through the draft. So I think any draft pick you want to hit on, especially the earlier rounds. So I would say the first, second, third, even fourth round, you want to hit on those guys that they're going to be playing. They're going to have a role on the team because you're rebuilding, and that's how you rebuild a team is through the draft.
Cecil Shorts in for John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig holding it down on Sports Radio 610. Is the praise of Davis Mills almost something that brings up like some reservations? And I want to ask you this because I've brought this up with J-Lo. I've brought this up with McClain. And I want you to just hear me out on this.
Mm-hmm.
So we've heard that Davis Mills, and then we've heard David Shaw say this when he joined the show. I've heard Todd McShay say this. I think Kuiper's even thrown this out there. A lot of very respected guys who know college prospects better than anyone have said it.
Okay.
But I want to know, does it actually matter if Davis Mills would have been a top 15 pick next year? Let's say Davis Mills would have soared up like Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Joe Burrow, and he would have been a top 15 pick if he'd had another year at Stanford. Does that matter, given the fact that he's not going to have that year? Because you could say it's unrealized potential, but my question is, how valuable is that experience to put you in position to perform at the NFL level, the level that you're ready to perform? In other words, if Baker Mayfield had left after his junior year at Oklahoma and he'd gone to the NFL, or Joe Burrow had left LSU early and he hadn't had that Heisman season, or Kyler Murray had decided that, you know, rather than playing at A&M and starting at OU, he was going to go to the draft early. Would those guys be in position? Like, how valuable is that experience? And in saying that, how relevant is it given the fact that he's not going to have that experience?
Well, I think you want a guy with experience. I think that's the first things first, right? He only played, what, 11 games?
11.
And they weren't in consecutive, right? It was like off or whatever it was. For me, I think it's a good situation for him to be in because they can mold him to how they want their quarterback to be, right? So when you're at Stanford and you're learning, or in any college, you're learning from those guys. And those college coaches are are very good. They know the game, of course. So they're teaching them things in their way. But when you draft a guy in the third round, potentially your first round pick next year, you can mold him, and you have that guy in your hands right now. So you can teach them everything you want to teach them. You can mold them how you want to mold them. You can frame them how you want to frame them. So in my mind, you getting your hands on a guy early, that's like a blessing. Like, we got the guy that could be a first round pick next year. We could have drafted him next year, but now we got him a year earlier. He knows the system a year earlier. He gets comfortable a year earlier. He's around more NFL talent a year earlier. He can get the use of the game speed a year earlier. So in my eyes, yes, experience in college matters. But when you get a guy like this, I think it's a year advantage. Of the
can you staff. Replace it though? Like, can you replace it? Like, how valuable do you think?
Well, you can't replace college experience. But when, no matter what, if you started 42 games in college, you still haven't started nothing in the league. So right. it's still no experience here in the league, and it's a different experience.
I just hear the comparisons about, like, other guys drafted in that round. And, you know, Dak Prescott, I think, started 49 games. Russell Wilson started 48, third-round pick, fourth-round pick, respectfully. Yep. And I just don't know. I mean, yeah. I mean, if they're – I get that, you know – it's going to come down to how you develop. I just don't know. I wonder how valuable that experience
is. I think the experience from a quarterback standpoint comes more of being a leader, right? So being a guy that leads the huddle, being
a guy
that.
What about having the pressure, the 2-minute warning?
Yes, yes, that all comes with
all
it. Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. I think that's more of a mental game personally than development, if that makes sense. Yeah. So I think that does matter, because if you look at Dak Prescott, he was kind of groomed to be the guy. Like he was more comfortable in those situations. Same thing with Russell Wilson. He's the ultimate professional. He was comfortable because he played, what, 3-4 years at NC State and then went to Wisconsin. So they knew how to lead. They knew what pressure situations. They weren't worried about it. Whereas this guy, that may be an issue earlier.
The other thing is, and I don't know how much this matters, is those guys, their situations. The Cowboys have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, and they also drafted Zeke Elliott that year. True. So Dak Prescott went into a pretty favorable situation. Tony Romo hurt his back, and he went in there. Russell Wilson, they had one of the best defenses in the NFL, and they were running the rock with Marshawn Lynch.
Yep, didn't have to do much.
So I think the time in which you go in is there, but I just wonder if the experience – I don't think there's not really a – I'll say this, there's not really a right answer to it, but there's not really an example of someone that I've been able to find that you can point to and say, this guy started 11 games in college at quarterback, and he went to the NFL, and all of a sudden he just looked like a guy that you could start 17 games a year. Yeah. I haven't found it.
That's tough. The first guy that had limited experience that comes to mind is not a good one, is Mitchell Trubisky.
But he did have at least one full season.
One full season. He started the full season. Yeah. But it's just, I don't know a guy that played sparingly and didn't play 11 games consecutively like this and have experience. But in my mind, if you're a coach, you got your hands on him. So now it's on you to help develop, bring him up to speed. And then you brought in a guy like Tyrod Taylor, does a good job helping groom the guys. Of course, he wants to be the starter.
Got a good record doing it.
But he has a good job. He has a really good job helping the rookies come along, and those guys are doing pretty well.
We will see. First choice or not, Davis Mills is the guy. We'll see how much he plays in 2021. Landry Locker, Cecil Shorts in for John Lopez. Figgy Fig holding it down. Brutal honesty and putting a bow on the show heading into the weekend next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Cecil Shorts in for John Lopez. Cecil, why the hell is Tim Kelly here? Why is he here? What's he doing?
The lingerer, as you would call it.
What's he doing here? Sell me on him.
He is a guy that they see potential in. He is a guy that they believe still can call plays and do it at a successful rate. Again, I think he was boxed when he had B.O.B. I think B.O.B. was still telling him what to do, telling him how to call plays, teaching him how to do this, and B.O.B. wasn't the greatest at it, right? So I think when he can figure it, the time that I think he was week 4, B.O.B. got let go. Then from there, it was Romeo. During that time with Romeo, I think he was able to be a little more free. He was able to have figure out who he is as a play caller. He was able to adjust and put Deshaun in good situations. I think he was one of the big reasons that Deshaun had a successful year this year. And Deshaun loves Tim Kelly. I think that's another reason why Tim was back, because Deshaun loved him. And when you have a quarterback that has a tight relationship with the OC, and they can relate, their trust is there. So I just feel like there's a lot of success from Deshaun came from Tim. Is Tim perfect? No. We got to figure out a scheme in the run game. We got to figure out the identity in the run game. I think that will improve this year, especially with the new offensive line adjustments that you made. But I just feel like he has potential to be a very good OC, and I think he can do it. And I think they see it as the Texans.
I am curious about something. I want to get to that in just a sec. I'm very intrigued to hear what you have to say about this. But tell the story first, because it's kind of connected to what I'm going to say. Tell the story about the New England system and Bill O'Brien coming in in talking about that system with you guys. You recall telling us this story about how he was saying, I know this works. I've seen it work with Randy Moss, Wes Welker, all that. Yeah,
basically, we would watch film on New England. So during OTAs, like around now, during minicamp, he will put up film on how he wants us to run the exact same plays, exact same play calls that New England would run. So we would have a play sheet. We would go over our plays each and every day, and then the next day we would watch film on the exact same plays. So he would try to get me to run routes like Wes Welker or Julian Edelman or whoever the slot guy was. He would try to get Hop to do the same stuff that Moss or whoever's outside guy was, Deion Branch and stuff like that. So it was, he was trying to get us to run routes exactly the same way that the New England Patriots did it, or New England Patriots
with Hall of Famers.
With Hall of Famers, that guy, like, and it's like, yo, we can't do that. Like, we gotta be ourselves. Like, we can't do the exact same thing that you're. I get that you're trying to give an example, but we did it often. Like, it was, I wouldn't say every day, but it was 2-3 times a week. We would sit there, maybe 4 times. We would sit there and watch film on the Patriots, and that was the way that he wanted it to be done. Hey, he would send clips. Like, hey, he would send a cut up. Hey, watch Wes Welker. Watch how he gets open. Watch Julian Edelman. Watch Deion Branch. Watch this stuff. And I will watch, and I'm like, okay, but I can't do exactly what they're doing. Some of these guys are Hall of Famers. I'm not a Hall of Famer. I'm a decent role player. Like, I need to be able to have my own freedom to do stuff. So as an offense, when we're told to do exactly what they do, it takes away from your identity.
The reason I ask that is because I do wonder, like, and you know, I have fun with Tim Kelly. I don't think Tim Kelly's a good offensive mind. But I do wonder, because I think there's a perception that, you know, Tim Kelly's here because Deshaun Watson spoke highly of him. Could be true. But also, I do wonder if there's another element to it that I think could be connected with what you just said, in that Nick Caserio, as we know, comes from New England. Nick Caserio was in the offensive meetings. Nick Caserio wore a headset on game days. So I'm not saying Tim Kelly's going to be here for a long time. But I do wonder that as this thing progresses, and as the process, as we've called it, progresses with Nick Caserio, is his next coach or his next offensive mind going to run that same system? Because Nick Caserio was closer to that system than anybody.
Yeah.
So is he going to be married to that offensive system, to where a guy like a Tim Kelly makes sense for him because he knows that system better than Bill O'Brien ever will? Or do you think he would be willing to change the system and he's not necessarily married to it?
No, I think he's willing to change the system. I think Caserio being there, what, 20-plus years, or just about 20 years?
Since day one.
He knows that the system worked because of two incredible Hall of Fame guys.
Say that again. Run that back one more time. Repeat it like Mike Jones. Say that again.
Caserio been there 20-plus years, and he knows the system worked because of two unreal Hall of Fame guys.
See, that's unique a lot of times in New England, because I think a lot of guys who leave New England, they kind of ignore that, you know, best coach of all time, best quarterback of all time. Yes. That's why that was working. Those were the straws that stirred the drink, and they might have been the sugar as well that added the sweetener to the drink. That's important. You think Nick Caserio actually realizes that? He might have some concepts from there, and he might have some mindsets there. And hell, who the hell knows? Nick Caserio might have had a huge hand in what they did. We know Belichick was the guy, but Caserio was trusted to do a lot of things. But you don't think he's married to, this is how you do it, and it wasn't Brady. It's my way. This is football, Cecil. Watch Wes Welker. Watch Randy Moss. You don't think he's cut from that cloth?
No, just from the things I've seen from Caserio. I don't normally. The experiences I've had with New England guys, New England coaches, they try to take everything they learn from New England and put it here, right? Or put it to wherever they are, whether it's Patricia, whether it's whoever it is, right? He doesn't seem like that guy. He's like, he's his own man. And I think he understands, we had Tom Brady, we had Bill Belichick. They're the best to ever do it. We're not there. Of course, when you're there, you see things that work. So he may take concepts, may take ideas, he may take thoughts and stuff that he's learned from New England. Right, but he's not going to try to be exactly like them, because we have different players here. We got different coaches here. It's different everything. So any guy, any coach, any player that wants to succeed and has been under somebody for a long time, you'll take things from them. But to be exactly like them, I don't see Nick Caserio doing that here.
Cecil Shorts in for John Lopez here on Sports Radio 610. Figgy Fig holding it down. Why is Jack Easterby here?
Nick Caserio. I think Jack has built a, well, put it this way, I think Jack has put a good relationship with the McNairs. I think the McNairs asked him to do something he had no experience doing, and he did his best, and throughout that time, he built a good relationship with the McNairs. And I think hiring Nick, Nick knows the best role for Jack. I think Nick trusts Jack, and I think he knows the best role for Jack, which is being a character coach and being a mentor to the young guys, a mentor to the players that need the help off the field. So I think Nick knows the how to get the best out of Jack. And when you're a coach or a GM and you know how to get the best out of somebody, they're going to thrive. So I think, and he's a friend of Nick. So I think he is the reason that Jack's still around. Now, he's not around in the same role, right? He's not going to be the GM, not going to be calling the shots, not going to be in football operations. But Nick knows what's best for Jack, and I think he put him in that role.
Nick Caserio, by the way, joining the morning guys, Sean and Seth, 7:30 a.m. on Monday. 7:30 a.m., fire up that Odyssey app. The only public words from Nick Caserio following minicamp. What does Nick Caserio think about the backlash of minicamp? What does he think about Tyrod Taylor, the Deshaun Watson situation? I'm sure that will come up. Nick Caserio, 7:30 a.m. exclusively on Sports Radio 610. Could Jack Easterby kind of be like a you're making it sound like Jack Easterby is almost like a Romeo Crennel.
Whoa. Explain that.
I think I will. So, Romeo Crennel was a failed NFL head coach. I don't think that's too harsh. He did not have success as an NFL head coach. Cleveland, Kansas City, did not have success.
Fair.
However, after he failed, teams were still willing to bring him in to be the defensive coordinator. Guys were still willing to bring him in to be defensive coordinator, and he called some good defenses. Jack Easterby is a failed personnel guy. The 2 years in which he took over for Brian Gain, took over for Chris Olsen, were a disaster. The roster's worse. He was bad at it. So could Nick Caserio be looking at Jack Easterby for what he was instead of what he did the last 2 years? Because I think there's a perception, and I'm one of these guys. I think getting rid of Jack Easterby would have been in the best interest of the Texans. I think it would have helped morale. I think it would have helped the perception. I think it might have even led to Deshaun Watson being more open to being here. I know there are other players who wanted nothing to do with Jack Easterby, but let's just be clear about something. Regardless of how I feel, regardless of how Loopholes, shout out to the Loopholes if you listen to your own, regardless of how they feel about what Jack Easterby did the last 2 years, Nick Caserio did not get on the plane with Cal McNair and say, you know what? I'm really impressed with the work Jack Easterby's done the last 2 years. I really got to have that guy doing the same thing the next 2 years, because I'll be damned, that guy right there and the job that he's done the last 2 years is something that I really want to keep around here. I would say it's probably more realistic that he wiped away those 2 years and says the 6 years that he was in New England, he did a lot of things for the organization and his role was ideal. That's what I like, not the last 2 years.
I think it's more, I would agree with the last 6 years, not the two. I think the time that he had in New England, he's basing it off that. But also, this is a relationship business. So guys are going to bring in guys that they trust. Guys are going to bring in guys that they're comfortable with. And I think he's comfortable with Jack being in that role because he's been there with him in New England, right? So the comparison between Romeo and Jack, I don't necessarily like, because Romeo was at a different level as far as Hall of Fame level. He's very successful at calling defenses, very successful in multiple years, winning Super Bowls in all different categories, right? Whereas Jack did a good job as far as we know in those roles, but not necessarily a Hall of Fame type of thing. So I get where you were going with it, but I didn't like that.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Cecil Shorts Romeo in for John Lopez. Romeo's just kind of lingering. He's just getting a check, right? He's basically getting around.
That's,
it's okay. It's okay. He's just chilling.
He's enjoying the fruits of his labor.
Just chilling.
He put the work. He put the work in.
Hanging out.
And he gets to enjoy being who he is.
It's cool. Congratulations.
No doubt about it. You got something up your sleeve. I know you got something up your sleeve.
I don't got anything up my sleeve.
You got something up your sleeve.
You're starting to read me too well. I need to take another break from doing shows together. I got some power rankings for Cecil Shorts because we've had three different coaches on this show this week. And I just want to power rank the three best coaches that I have been in this room with this week.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
All right.
Numero uno.
Number one, John Lopez.
Some golfers are on the course.
A very successful AAU era by John Lopez. Great AAU. They beat some good teams. They beat some, like, really good teams with NBA players. So the best coach that has been in this room this week, John Lopez.
Numero dos.
Stanford Route.
Not DB, a corner.
On Wednesday at 12:40. There was a battle for number two, and Stanford Route won the two spot, which brings us to number three.
Numero tres.
Cecil Shorts.
Cecil's first day of coaching started in a unique way. In the midst of a pandemic, he was put on hand sanitizer duty.
Cecil, tell the people why you're third on the list and why Stanford took the two spot.
See, I figured I knew something was up his sleeve. I just knew something was up. So every Wednesday night, let me start with this. Stanford coaches at at St. Thomas High School. I coach over at Second Baptist High School. So every Wednesday during June, we have 7-on-7s at Kincaid. So it's Kincaid, it's Episcopal. It's St. Thomas and it's Second Baptist. So this offseason, the head coaches allow me to call some plays more. He's getting a little more comfortable with me and I'm learning offense. So he's letting me call plays this summer at the 7-on-7s.
Now, are you a visor guy or are you a hat guy? Nothing?
You know what? I'm not neither right now.
Okay.
I'm not neither.
Wasn't
right
your dad
now.
A visor guy?
My dad was a visor
okay,
guy.
Okay.
Yeah,
he
was
I saw
a
the
visor
picture.
Guy.
Yeah,
he was a visor guy. I'm neither right now. I need to figure that out. But so we play four. We play each everybody plays each other one time. So we're going to this game 3-0. And I forgot Stanford was over at St. Thomas. So I see him before we start. I'm like, oh, hey, what's up? He actually comes over to me. He got his hoodie on. He got his sweatpants on. It's 100 degrees outside. I dap him up like, hey, what's up, man? And then he goes over to his sideline. And then, long story short, I was calling the offense. He was calling the defense.
Yeah, yeah.
And at one point, they were up two touchdowns.
Yeah.
And we ended up, losing the game or whatever. Yeah. But that is why I'm number three on the list. But I plan on changing that. I don't know if I get to one because Lopez is... He's out there.
I'm
still young in my coaching career. He's out there. So I got some chances. But as far as Stanford, I plan on doing something different next week. So we'll see what's up.
Are going to get a rematch?
Oh, we play each other every week.
When is this?
Every Wednesday. Every Wednesday night.
Where at?
At the Kincaid School. Every Wednesday night.
Dude.
Sound like a field trip.
Dude.
Don't come this week because I'm out of town. Come the following week. It'll be fun.
Dude, what if they win by 20 when you're out of town? There's going to be a controversy. That's what we're starting with Thursday because we're going to have Samford on Wednesday. If they win, if they win without you, if they win without you, you better believe I'm starting the show. Does Cecil Shorts need to be fired?
That is fun. That is fun. Matter of fact, you should do that next week and then come to the following week and see who wins the battle. It's just 7-on-7, but it is a lot of fun to get to compete.
What is Stanford like as a coach? What's he doing?
The same way he's on there. He's just communicating. He communicates well. Those guys are well taught. Like you can tell he spent some time with those guys. The different technique they had, different form, how they came out there.
And guess what?
So he's the same outgoing. Would you say he's outgoing on air?
Yes.
I would say he's the same way coaching.
Yes.
He's the same way coaching. He's out there yelling, screaming, don't bite on that. We did a couple moves, a couple double moves that were successful.
Not DB, a corner.
And he was out there yelling the same way we hear him on the radio. So, yeah, he's pretty cool.
Okay. And I'm sure he's fresh, right?
No. Yesterday, I mean, he had a hoodie on, covered up with sweat, like he was working out.
Okay, let me be honest. Let me just let you in on a secret with guys like Stanford, okay? There are some people who just throw something on and they go to the grocery store and they're fine with it. Stanford is like one of those girls or like guys that really, really like make sure they don't leave the house at their best, that even when they're wearing sweatpants or even when they're wearing like the hoodie, it took him an hour and a half to get ready.
Well thought out.
He pressed that hoodie. He pressed the shorts.
There was no wrinkles. None. The outfit did look nice.
Yes.
Nice shoes on.
Yes.
White.
Always.
So yeah, I definitely can see that. Does he have long hair now?
Longer.
Longer hair.
Longer.
Because he had a hoodie on, but you could tell like it was some type of hair up under there.
Longer. Yeah, he's got.
But well groomed. Yeah, I mean, it was the whole nine. Had a hood on, but you're right. He did look nice.
Always.
Well put together.
We'll be back on Monday. The Astros are going to Minnesota. You think it's hot here? I think you would not trade this for a Minnesota weather like winter, would you? Would you rather have a Minnesota winter or a Texas summer?
Oh, I thought you were talking about a Minnesota summer. Like Minnesota summer is beautiful. I love it out
Cleveland
there.
Cleveland summer is beautiful.
I wouldn't call it beautiful.
It ain't bad.
But yes, I'd rather have a Texas summer than a Minnesota winter. Absolutely.
Minnesota winter is hell.
Absolutely. I've never been out there, but I can only imagine.
For the Super Bowl, couldn't even breathe when you got out of the car. Serious. See, that's why Jamarcus Russell is one of my favorite quarterbacks of all time.
Wait, why?
Because.
What? This is random.
First of all, I like Jamarcus Russell because my buddy played with him. I got to hang out with Jamarcus
and one night.
And
he was cool?
He was cool, but that's not enough. But when he was with the Raiders, because he's such a country dude and he's from the South, on the sidelines, it was like 60 degrees, not that cold. That dude was wearing the full winter jacket sitting by the heater, and I was like, I can relate to that dude. That's my guy.
Jamarcus so you can relate because he was acting soft.
Yeah. I'll let you have that one, Cecil. I've been cracking jokes all day. I'll let you have that one. We'll end on that one. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are one. Enjoy your weekend. If you have to work, unwind, act an ass, do whatever you want to do. If you have to work, look on the bright side, less traffic. For Cecil Shorts and for John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. We'll talk to you Monday. But in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley are next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.